the Jack Benny Program.
You know what a pleasure it is to do a show with a band you don't have to prop up. Well, I don't exactly prop my boys up. You see, I just sort of lean them against each other. For once, the clarinet player stepped forward to play a solo, you see, and it was like pulling the center pole out of a circus tent. Anyway, I'm so happy to have Lawrence Welk because it gives me a chance to do the kind of a show.
You go first.
It gives me a chance to do the... Ladies, I'm right in the middle of a show.
Mr. Benny, don't you recognize us?
Oh, for heaven's sake, you're the president and vice president of my Pasadena fan club.
Well, you haven't forgotten us.
Well, of course I haven't forgotten you, but, you know, I'm really right in the middle of a show, so girls, why don't you go right...
Girls? Girls! He's called us that before.
Oh, yes, but this time he's got his glasses on.
Yes. Well, tell me, has my fan club gotten any bigger lately?
Well, Emma has gained a little weight.
Oh, Mary, he didn't mean that. He's talking about members.
Yes, I mean, how's my fan club doing lately?
Oh, it's doing fine. We just got two members from Francis X. Bushman.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. And I want to tell you how nice it was of you to come over here to see me.
Well,
well, what?
Emma, you tell him.
We didn't exactly come to see you. This time, we came down to see Lawrence Welk.
Oh.
Please don't get us wrong, Mr. Benny. We love your violin playing. But when Lawrence plays that accordion, we imagine it's us he's squeezing.
Clara, you promised you wouldn't tell that.
But you like Mr. Welk.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I auditioned to be his champagne lady.
You did? What happened?
She was a long vintage.
Look who's talking. Miss Glendale of 1902.
1903, smarty.
Now look, girls, I'm sure you didn't come up here to argue. You came here to see Mr. Welk, right? Well, I'm just about to introduce him, so why don't you go back to your seat?
Oh, yes. Come on, Emmy. He's going to introduce Lawrence Welk.
Oh, I haven't been this thrilled since Rudy Valley told me his time was my time.
They're so cute. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present to you Mr. Lawrence Welk and his champagne music.
Thank you.
that your music is just wonderful.
What?
I said your music is wonderful.
Jack, I'm afraid I don't...
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. I meant to say your music is wonderful.
Thank you. You know everybody mispronounces stud word.
Yes. But I must tell you, Lord, that really it's wonderful having you, and your fine musicians on my show.
Thank you very much, Jack.
And you know, you've had, I've been listening to you for a long time. You've had quite a career. I mean, what do you attribute your such a long success, you know, standing?
Well, Jack, there are no doubt many reasons, but I think the main reason is because we never went in for that... wild, far-out music.
Far-out music?
Yes, like Guy Lombardo and Wayne King.
Or Sammy Kay.
Yeah, he was crazy, man. Crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, really, you have had... You know, and I've always loved your theme song. Such a beautiful... theme song. But where did you ever get the idea for those bubbles?
Well, Jack, to be honest, that came about by accident. It was during the days of my one-night stands back in the Midwest. We've been out on the road for about 6 weeks. And one night, just as we started to play, I looked up and there were all the bubbles coming from behind the brass section. And Jack, it was beautiful, really beautiful.
It was. Well, what the? I mean, where did you get the idea?
Well, really, from no one. The trombone player was doing his laundry.
Doing his laundry?
Yes, well, thanks to a pair of dirty socks, I got $1 million trademark.
Well, that's wonderful. But listen, everybody... But you mean everybody in the band, they do their laundry on the stage?
For the next 5 years, we were known as the cleanest music this side of Pismo Beach.
Well... But, you know, Lawrence, of course, in those days, every orchestra, they had a sort of a slogan, you know. And, like, for instance, I remember even Phil Harris, when he was with me in radio. He was known as Phil Harris and his International Orchestra. International meaning that he was as well known in San Diego as he was in Tijuana. But, Lawrence, may I call you Larry?
Call me anything you want,
okay.
Jack.
Well, Lawrence, look at me. You know, I want to tell you something. I hope you won't be offended at what I'm going to say.
No, go right ahead, Jack.
Well, you know, this thing of conducting an orchestra, leading an orchestra, that's a sort of a racket, isn't it?
What do you mean?
A racket? Well, I mean, there's nothing to leading an orchestra, isn't it? Isn't that just a racket? I mean, here you stand there with a stick like this, you know, and you're going up and down. I mean, if you had a hammer in your hand, at least you could be building something. Or cracking nuts. But just to stand there with a stick up and down, I think anybody in the world can conduct an orchestra. I don't mean... just you. I'm not trying to insult you, believe me. I think anybody can conduct an orchestra.
You mean anybody can lead an orchestra?
I think I can lead an orchestra. I'll show you what I mean. May I have your baton?
Sure.
Just a second. Now, will you just stay over there?
Okay.
I've never directed an orchestra before in my life. I want to show you there's nothing. Fellas, you ready? I want you to hear this. Just one second. All right, boys. A one, a two. they played a joke on me. They ran off. All right, fellas, you can come back. You played your little joke. Come on back. Come on back here on the stand. Oh, big funny men. Come on. I got your joke over. All right. Now, look at me. Lawrence, now I'm going to show you what I mean about conducting the orchestra. They were kidding me before, you know, running off. I'll show you that it's easy to do. And we're going to play, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to repeat that number, row, row, row. Ready? A one, a two. They were just tuning up. Ready, boys? A one, a two. A one, a two. Understand. Now, look at it. They followed you all the way. So why wouldn't they follow me?
Well, Jack, you see, they have a certain loyalty to me. After all, we've been together for 30 years.
Well, I know. Well, what's the drummer's name, the one that was loyal to me?
Benedict Arnold.
It is not. Now, look at Larry. You know, you sound like you're ad-libbing. I wonder. Listen, Larry, that when I asked you and the boys to come here to do a show with me, that I had an ulterior motive.
You did?
Yes. You know, years ago in radio, when I was in radio, I wrote a song, a very beautiful song, you see? And for some reason or other, it was a ballad. Nothing ever became of it. I took it to some of our greatest publishers. They couldn't do anything with it. I took him to Dmitri Tiomkin to get one of his arrangements. Nothing happened. I even took it to George Byrne, and he refused to sing it.
Well,
didn't that help? Not at all. Now listen, but I'm sure that with your orchestra playing it, it'll do something for this number.
Well, Jack, I'll be glad to do anything I can. But I'm kind of surprised. You really wrote a song?
I wrote a beautiful... It's a ballad, a torch song. And I wrote the words and the music.
What's the title?
Well, wait till you hear the title. It's beautiful. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. Now, Lawrence, I'll bet you've never heard a title like that before, have you?
No, I haven't. Jack and I've been in the music business for 37 years.
Well, look at it. I happen to have a copy of it right here, you see? And I just want to sing these lyrics to you. And then I'm sure the minute you hear them, you'll want to do this with your orchestra. It'll be a big help. Listen to the lyrics. They're every bit as good as the title. Now, read them. Now, listen to this. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return. Like the swallows at Serrano, return to Capistrano for you.
Wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute. Serrano.
Yes, that's a little town in Italy.
And the birds flew all the way from Serrano to Capistrano?
That's right.
Well, that's over 10,000 miles. A swallow couldn't possibly fly that far.
Look at... What do you belong to, the Musicians Union or the Audubon Society? Now listen to this, will you? Listen to the rest of this. When you... And stop laughing at me. When you say that you are sorry, then I will understand. Near the harvest moon, we'll pledge our love anew. Our love anew. So my darling, though we parted, come back to whence we started.
Whence?
Yes, whence. That's a poetic form of the word where.
But, Jack...
Look, if you can say wonderful, I can say whence. Now, listen to this finish. If you can say what? No. So, my darling, though we parted, come back to whence we started. And, sweetheart, then I'll come back to you. Now, Lawrence, you'll have to admit, that's a beautiful song.
Jack, if that's a beautiful song, I've been hit on my head with one bubble too many.
Well, you can't tell by my singing it. I think your orchestra should play it. Really.
The orchestra?
Yeah.
But, Jack, fortunately, my men don't have the music to this song.
Oh, fortunately. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I put the music on their stand, and they know nothing about it. I'm going to give it to them now, and we're going to play it. Then you'll see how good it is. Open the curtains. Up. Now, fellas, look at it. Turn the page. You got my music up there. When you say, I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. That's the number right there.
I can't find the part.
Oh, it's number 13, Benedict.
Mr. Benny, I'm the concert master.
I don't care. This is my song. Now, get off. Looked like he swallowed Mickey Mouse and left the tail sticking out.